From KCRW, this is Here Be Monsters. So, you know, it was about 8 years ago when I started this show. I was kind of thinking of, like, ways to address some of my post-college anxieties, which were strong. Getting out into the world and being expected to know things was actually a really heavy weight on me, and I was kind of having a lot of trouble sleeping in that year. So I kind of started this show as a way to address those things, right? Like, the way I've been thinking of it lately is to kind of, like, make a public park almost, right? Like a really beautiful place that doesn't have any walls around it. There's plenty of beautiful places in the world that are all surrounded by tall walls, but I want to kind of do something a little bit more accessible to people, right? And so that's how this podcast started. And it was meant to be this beautiful space that people could come experience with me. And there's a little bit of irony in making a project like that, because oftentimes in the pursuit of making something beautiful and calming and accessible, like, well, you can become unbeautiful and uncalm and inaccessible. And so it's kind of this thing I've been feeling lately in my body again, where I've re-emerged into some of that insomnia that I was feeling before I started making the show. And I've been feeling this, like, new tightness in my neck, and I've been slouching more. It's been getting me thinking a lot about my body. I think it's really hard to talk about body sometimes, though, because it's our sole point of reference, right? Like, you can't step outside of your body, at least not usually, right? Like, you can't step outside of your body and look at it. So, unrelated to all this, I recently picked up this book that was written about 2,000 years ago by the Roman Emperor Marcus Aurelius. And so this book I picked up is called Meditations, and it was actually just his personal journals that he didn't ever intend to publish to anyone, as far as I know. But after he died, I think some people found them and realized that he had been thinking a lot about, like, what it means to live a good life. And so he's been kind of entered into this canon of Stoic philosophers who believe in controlling what you can control and letting go of what you can't, right? So in this book, I got really excited about this one phrase that he used, where he referred to the body as the prey of worms. And so I sent this off to Beth, and I was like, Beth, this is brilliant. Like, Marcus Aurelius, like, has the body figured out. It's the prey of worms. How brilliant is that? And Beth wrote me back, and she was like, wait, was this guy like a warlord? Was he like bloodthirsty? And I was like, no, Beth, it's like the exact opposite. And she's like, oh, well, the way it's phrased, it makes it sound really dark. And so I sent her back the full quote, which I want to read to you now. In the life of a man, his time is but a moment, his being an incessant flux, his senses a dim rushlight, his body a prey of worms, his soul an unquiet eddy, his fortune dark, and his fame doubtful. In short, all that is of the body is as coursing waters. All that is of the soul is as dreams and vapors. Life, a warfare, a brief sojourning in an alien land, and after repute, oblivion. Like, what I get that Aurelius is saying here, and throughout the rest of the book, is that we need to value our life because it's brief. Like, there's just no way around that. It's brief. And he says as much later on, where he says something like, it doesn't matter whether you're going to live another 3 seconds or 3 hours or 3 days or 3 years or 3 decades. Like, it doesn't matter, because the only thing you can claim ownership of is the moment that you're living in right now. And in the grand scheme of things, the difference between 3 hours and 3 decades is really minimal. And, like, at the end of it all, it doesn't matter if you're a pauper or an emperor. Like, you're going to become food for worms, and the worms don't care. I find that incredibly comforting. That, like, what we have is what we have right now. We need to be using our bodies while we have them to make our own lives good, to make other people's lives good, and not worry so much about, like, the cosmic horror of it all, because at the end of the day, we're the food of worms. think it helps me better understand myself and my struggles. And I don't think I'm alone in that. Like, I just really love models of the body. They make me feel a bit more human and a bit more at peace.
Here Be Monsters, the podcast about
52 black sunflower seeds.
The podcast about the unknown.
The body is a machine. I'm the daughter of a mechanic, and so a lot of my time growing up was spent with him, learning and holding the flashlight and with my own little tool set. He would never describe himself as an intellectual, but he is certainly one of the smartest people I know. Understanding his thought process and his relationship with an engine or a pump or something like that has really helped me, as a doctor, understand the human body. Machines require affection, they require maintenance, and they will give you signals when there's something wrong. Having this understanding of the body as an electrical circuit, the way that our nerves function, or the body as a pump and tubing with our heart and blood vessels, or the body as a series of levers and hydraulics and pulleys with our ligaments and tendons and muscles and bones, and the sort of hydrostatic pressure that inflates us, that, you know, makes us more than a little pile of mush on the ground. That is all very mechanical. We are these beautiful, intricate machines that if you listen to what's going on, you can get to the bottom of it.
Cool.
Okay. I think the body is water. The body is open water. And I can keep going with metaphors. I also think the body is salt. Like we are salty. Yes, I'm gonna do it in Spanish first. Ir en un avión y notar las nubes, como los ríos y los mares, son cuerpos de agua. Entonces la epifanía, los humanos también. Quiero vivir cerca de un cuerpo de agua. Ya sé cuál. In a plane I noticed. Clouds, like oceans and rivers, are bodies of water. So are humans. I want to lead by a body of water. I already know which one. It was a love letter. I'm currently in a very happy relationship, and one of the exercises we try to do, and this is unconscious, is to restate constantly that we love each other in a way that is not annoying or corny or excessively whatever. I grew up in the mountains of Colombia, very far from the ocean, and I grew up reading this repeated thing that we are 70% water. The notion that we are almost full of water, it's crazy. What we see of our bodies, what we see of everybody's bodies, is just a very, very tiny part. In a plane, I notice.
Ir en un avión y notar.
Clouds, like oceans,
los ríos y los mares.
Son cuerpos de agua.
Are bodies of water.
Entonces, la epifanía.
So are humans.
Los humanos también.
Quiero vivir cerca de un cuerpo de
body of water.
Ya sé cuál.
I already know which one.
The body is a meat baffle. No, yeah, I think that's all I really can say about it. The body is a meat baffle. I, of course, am a meat baffle. I've been a professional meat baffle for 10 years. Oh, our music is exceptionally loud. All the time, people tell us to turn down, and that's not really in the cards for us. That's not something that we do. You know, we make a conscious effort to try and punish the audience and the listeners with the music that we make. Our band has been described as the sound of a bird dying. A sound check is like a test run. You plug in all you plug in your amp, you plug in your patch cords, and you plug into your pedal board. You tune up your guitars, and then you get levels so that the sound tech sort of has the thesis of your band, or sort of the idea, the proper volumes of your band to make the show sound the best for the audience. Sound checks never sound as good as the show. Because, you know, when you soundcheck to an empty club, there's nothing, the sounds are all bouncing off of each other, off the walls, off, you know, off the stage, off the floor. There's too much empty space. And so then the sound tech will sort of look at you, and he or she will ask how it sounds, and the tech will be like, yeah, sounds okay for me, but once we have some meat baffles in here, it'll sound better. And meat baffles are, of course, people. The more audience members, the less room that your sound has to bounce around. So it just sort of gets absorbed by, you know, people's clothing, and it just can make sort of a more pure sound. And it's not just bouncing around. Bouncing around, bouncing around.
Blinded by fractal road! Blinded!
The body is a container for viscera. There are times when I'm working where I see the body as this bag of meat. Calling it viscera, it alludes to the presence of what was once there, which is life. Since I work with a lot of birds, I've looked at their crops. When their crops are full, I like seeing what's inside. And there can be all sorts of stuff like seeds or corn or little treats or things like that. With chipmunks, you can look at their, you know, sometimes their cheek pouches are full, and I think the most black sunflower seeds I found in a chipmunk's cheek pouches were 52. I just remember that number because it was a lot. You know, I was like, there's a lot in here. I'm going to take a look and see that. But yeah, that chipmunk with the 52 black sunflower seeds was something else. There was another time where I found maggots on a pet that was really alarming because it's showing me that it sat out for a while before it was put away and before it was brought to me. And my heart just sank seeing them because I thought this poor animal passed and was neglected in its passing. Yeah. You know, as much as I preserve bodies, I don't want my own to stay long on this earth after I die. When I die, I don't think I'm going to have any broken wings or forgotten maggots. Yeah. I'm really lucky to say that I don't think I have those.
But maybe some black sunflower seeds.
Definitely some black sunflower seeds.
Pretend, my little friends, that my hand here represents your spirit. It is alive, and it can move by itself. Suppose that this glove represents your body. When your spirit enters into your body, then it can move and act and live. Now you are a person, a spirit in a body.
The body is a glove. I mean, when I visualize it, because I'm from Montana, I kind of think of like, you know, maybe a nice, soft leather winter glove that's nice and warm. But I guess it could be any type of glove. You know, our body is kind of like the clothing for our spirit. And when you take the glove off, it doesn't move. It's a vehicle or a casing or something that our souls use to do the things that we need to do. And the soul is the most important part, and that's eternal.
Now, it was not intended that you stay here forever, just for a lifetime. You little ones are just beginning your lifetime. Your grandfather and great-grandfather and mother are nearly finished with theirs.
I worked in hospice for many years, and I'm a medical social worker, and you know, I was holding the hand of a woman, an elderly woman who was passing away. This is many, many years ago. And so I sat at her bedside holding her hand, and as she stopped breathing, the feel of her hand was like it was different. You know, it was still, you know, flesh and bones right there that I had in my hand, but it, you know, really certainly solidified my own belief, you know, that we are spirits first and then we have a body. And at some point, we don't need that body for a bit.
When I separate them, when the glove, which represents your body, is taken away from your spirit, it cannot move. It just falls down and is dead, but your spirit is still alive.
This isn't all there is. My body and my soul will be reunited, and we believe that's the resurrection, when we have that opportunity to live with our Heavenly Father, and we will have a perfect, glorified body, free from infirmities that we have with this mortal body. And you know, it's a bigger picture. There was more before, and there's more to come.
The part of you that looks out through your eyes and allows you to think and to smile and to act and to know and to be, that is your spirit, and that is eternal. It cannot die.
The body is also a garden. I picked up this idea from my naturopathic medical school. Naturopathic school is medical school, kind of traditional medical school, mixed with a broader view of the body as a whole, as a system. In that view, there's this idea that the body is growing, changing, with distinct life cycles and many, many, many living pieces working together. So this complex, cyclical, interwoven network, just like a garden or an ecosystem, really. There are more cells, more bacterial cells on our bodies, so in our guts and on our skin, than cells that make up us. Those cells are so small, those bacterial cells are so small compared to our cells, that you can't really see the bacterial mass on us. But I think it's crazy to think that there is more bacteria on us than cells that make up us. And that's just amazing. And those bacteria in our guts are involved in fiber breakdown, in producing nutrients for the cells of our colon. They're even part of hormonal and neurotransmitter production in our gut and have a definite influence on metabolism and mood. So not just affecting our digestion, but affecting our bodies as a whole. So yes, there is this literal garden on our bodies. There were a couple situations, like with my professors that were, and I use this term so lovingly, who were more woo-woo, right? Who were more immersed in that naturopathic philosophy. They were, their relationship with machines was much different than mine and much different than my dad's relationship with machines. And I think that they felt that comparing us to machines felt too reductionistic and too lifeless. And I was telling my dad about this conversation later, being like, wow, this just, I just feel like nobody got the point that I was trying to make. And and having folks say things like, oh, well, a machine doesn't need the kind of maintenance that a human does. And I was telling this to my dad, and he was like, oh, man, I feel bad for their cars. That, like, maybe somebody should go out and check their oil. And I think that if you exclude the idea of the body being a machine, you lose the opportunity to explain the body to people who understand machines. And those are the people that actually know a lot about how their body works, if only they apply what they know about their work to their own bodies. Which is really unfortunate, because it's a form of medicine that is great for everybody, every body, every person. My name is Kelly Bowen. I'm a naturopathic doctor in Seattle, Washington, and I work at a clinic called One Connection Healthcare.
My name is Juliana Castro. I'm a graphic designer, and I work for a nonprofit called Access Now, and I'm also the founder of Cita Press, which is a feminist open access publisher.
My name is David Schellenberg. I play guitar and scream in a noisy hardcore band called Tunic. We are from Winnipeg, Manitoba, Canada.
My name's Divya Ananthuraman. I'm a taxidermist, and you can find my work on Instagram at Gotham Taxidermy.
Is it okay to say I'm Beth's mom?
Oh, that would be great. Yeah, I mean, I was hoping you would.
Okay, my name is Tammy Denton Clark, and I'm Bethany's mom. Yeah, I listen to every single episode.
If you're like Tammy, if you listen to every single episode, please send your favorite episodes to a friend or two. Word of mouth is really the biggest way that we find more wonderful and strange people to listen to this little show. So we really appreciate it when you send new people our way. Thank you. You know, today it's March 16th, 2020. And that narration that I recorded at the beginning of this episode, I recorded that about a week ago while I was walking around town. Bodies have been on my mind in a different way lately. Talk of bodies has made its way into every email I've written, every obligation I've blown off. I guess bodies are just on the mind right now. All this to say, please wash your hands. Please don't be harsh to people. I think we need to find new ways to keep our minds present as we find new ways to love each other. Now, speaking of bodies, KCRW's series called Bodies is back, and they just started a new season. So if you like to think about bodies, you'll like the podcast Bodies. It's on your favorite podcast app. Okay, my name is Jeff Entman. I produced this episode with help from Bethany Denton. Big thank you to Jackie Scott for helping me record the sounds of the freight elevator that you heard briefly in this episode. Music on this episode by The Black Spot, August Belcher Freeze, Sarocell, and Tunic. Also on this episode, you heard a wonderful clip from the 1973 address at the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. It was President Boyd K. Packer talking about how the body is like a glove. I really like that clip. It's pretty short, and it's embedded on our website if you'd like to watch. We're at hbmpodcast.com. Now, if all this talk about bodies has got you thinking about your own body, the model you use to understand it, just give us a call. Tell us about it. Our number is 765-374-5263. You'll be able to record a voicemail for up to 3 minutes. And hopefully, we're putting together a voicemail episode sometime later this season. And we'd love to include your thoughts in that episode. Again, 765-374-5263. Here Be Monsters is distributed by KCRW. Our senior editor there is Kristen Lepore. We get additional support for freelance contributions from KCRW's Independent Producer Project. Thanks for listening. Rory, I hope you have a wonderful wedding. And more episodes soon.